It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
I want to give you a high blood pressure alert today. Those of you with high blood pressure that get easily upset, angered, perturbed, annoyed, just calm yourselves before I prepare to get you stirred and maybe a little outraged and maybe even a little convicted. Today on the Line of Fire, Michael Brown, thanks for joining us as we seek to bring a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity here on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-3487-884, the number to call. Email me directly at Dr. Brown, drbrown at askdrbrown.org. Now, I'm going to vent a little bit today. I got a bunch of things on my mind that I want to talk to you about. I want to enlist your help in something that I'm dead serious about as well. I'll talk about that as the show unfolds. But first, just a word of explanation for those who were listening yesterday to the broadcast. Okay, we are called the Line of Fire. That's true. And the school of which I'm the president is Fire School of Ministry. That's true. And our church, yes, it is called Fire Church. And yes, our World Missions Organization is called Fire International. And yes, our publishing arm is Fire Publishing. And yes, I have preached on the fire of God for many, many years. But yesterday we had fire of a different sort. There was an electrical fire that broke out in the building here. Sparks started flying. Lights in the room started flashing. I heard the sound cutting in and out. Next thing, people waving through the studio window here telling me we've got to evacuate the building. So with about 10 minutes left in the program, we evacuated, and I walked across the street, really the only alternative. Walked across the street to an empty parking lot, picked up my cell phone, and called 866-34-TRUTH. Thankfully, there was a line open. And I was able then to broadcast the last 10 minutes or so of the show, literally outside, standing in a parking lot, looking at our building across the street where everyone had evacuated. Thankfully, everybody was okay. There were no problems of any kind. Okay, before I get into the heart of the show, I would like to introduce perhaps a new award or feature. We have often had You've Got to Be Kidding Me segments, but this I think you can only call the Stuck on Stupid. So I've got a few Stuck on Stupids for today. I received an email from Axel at WashingtonDC.USA.com a couple of days ago, a media advisory. The man Christ Jesus 666 to transform himself in 2012. Miami, Florida. Jose Luis De Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, once again makes history and shocks the nations by announcing today the exact date of the most awaited and most spectacular event in history, the glorious day of the transformation, where his physical body will be transformed, dressed in immortality and incorruptibility in the same manner Jesus' Nazareth experienced. The evidence is irrefutable. The countdown has begun. And they explain all the prophetic issues and what's going to happen and how it's going to happen in world news and how it ties in. Aside from the absolute idiocy and self-deception of this, and even more tragically, people believing in this deluded, demented man, is the fact that he now puts a date on it, 2012. Okay, how about this one? U.S. atheist, this is from Fox News, reportedly using hair dryers to de-baptize. You know, it'd be easier to take people a little bit more seriously in their struggles in faith if they didn't do such idiotic and stupid things. American atheists lined up to be de-baptized in a ritual using a hairdryer. According to a report last Friday on U.S. late-night news program Nightline, American atheists lined up to be de-baptized in this ritual. Leading atheist Edwin Kagan blasted his fellow non-believers with the hairdryer to symbolically dry up the holy water sprinkled on their heads in days past. Well, hang on. A lot of these people were immersed in water head to toe. You need more than a blow dryer for that. Forgive my sarcasm. I was baptized Catholic. I don't remember any of it at all, said 24-year-old Cambridge Boxterman. So on, Kagan donned a monk's robe and said a few mock Latin phrases before inviting those wishing to be debaptized to come forward now and receive the spirit of hot air that taketh away the stigma and taketh away the remnants of the stain of baptismal water. Ironically, Kagan's own son became a fundamentalist Christian minister after having a personal revelation in Jesus Christ. Amazing. So here's this guy, aggressive atheist, trying to debaptize people with a hairdryer. And a few years back, his own son gets born again after, quote, a personal revelation in Jesus Christ and becomes a minister. Okay, one more. There are people who actually believe this stuff. Marcus, the editor of our Voice of Revolution online magazine, access it through AskDrBrown.org, sent me this note posted on Daily Kos, an ultra-liberal blogging site, very influential in recent years politically. And just want you to know, if you're part of the religious right is changing so fast that the movement is outstripping efforts of journalists and researchers to track or understand it. First of all, it's a global movement that's changing American politics, but also reshaping entire nations globally. Uganda, for example. The charismatic wing of the movement is where the real action is. One of the leaders in this tendency, Lou Engel, has become the de facto prayer leader for the Republican Party. It's targeting entire states for political takeover, Hawaii, for example, and is infiltrating traditionally liberal cities such as Newark, Orlando, and Baltimore, working with police departments in those cities to pray down crime. What a horror. My words. But what's really going on is the creation of neighborhood watch groups whose church leaders hold a virulently anti-gay eliminationist ideology. And they're evangelizing the cops, which is what evangelicals do. Think of it. Think of these terrible Christians reaching out to policemen with the gospel. And think of these terrible Christians praying that the crime rates will go down. How terrible. Well, look, folks believe that these are horrific things that we're doing. And on top of that, we have an eliminationist ideology. I guess we want to wipe out and eliminate everyone that differs with us. Okay, one more. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago about the Massachusetts elementary school that was going to begin giving out condoms and then said they had modified their policy? Well, according to Evelyn Riley for the Massachusetts Family Institute, she says that's just window dressing. I think it's the same policy. I think they've done a little bit of window dressing, but it sounds like the very same policy. They're talking about maybe limiting the distribution to fifth grade and up, but you know what? Fifth grade is still elementary school. All right. That leads me to another subject. Oh, I've got a stat. We're going to talk about race today. We're going to talk about gay Tel Aviv. We got a bunch of things. Oh, a fabulous email I want to share with you. Hopefully the author of this email will be calling in today so he can fill us in a bit more on why he said what he said in his email to me. But I was checking out of a grocery store the other day. I'll have more to say about that in a minute. And I see a headline. Oh, it wasn't a racy-looking cover or anything like that. It was just a magazine cover with a pretty smiling picture of a blonde-haired lady. And she's gonna have a baby. Oh, how great. At last, Jessica Simpson is gonna have a baby. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I somehow didn't remember hearing the news. I certainly don't follow this. I'm not into the gossip columns. I don't watch Entertainment Tonight, whatever the things are. I don't have a TV for that matter. But as far as I remember, I didn't hear about anything about Jessica Simpson getting married. Oh, but she's having a baby. Isn't that just wonderful? And it just struck me between the eyes again. Look at the society we live in today. Oh, it's gotten just a little naughtier because the guy's still married. He's filed for divorce, but he's still married. So she's technically pregnant with a married man's baby. But, I mean, that's just a trivial thing. But at last, she's going to be having a baby. Isn't that great? And I thought, what a mess. What an absolute mess our society is in. That wedlock is maybe you do it, maybe you don't. And if you do it, it doesn't work. You just go on to the next person and join the multiple marriages, even if you're a conservative political leader. What a messed up world that we are in. And sadly, the mess continues right into the church, even into church leadership. we really need an awakening more than we understand. We need an awakening more than we realize, because we've been lulled to sleep by so much of the junk that's in our culture. It dawned on me, I don't know, last year, early this year, I don't know when it was. You always see pictures, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, the lady twins, the babies, and hit me. Wait. They're not married? I just assumed they must be married, all these kids. They're not even married. But what does it matter? 40% of all babies that made it out of the womb, that weren't aborted, 40% of all babies that were born in the United States last year were born out of wedlock. We need an awakening. I'm going to tell you something to do to help when we come back. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Today, Michael Brown here. I'm doing some holy and controlled venting and just seeking to stir conscience a bit. I'm about to ask for your help as we stand for righteousness. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Does it bother you when you go into the grocery store? Maybe you're there with your kids. Maybe you're just running an errand for yourself or for family. Going to buy some groceries. Maybe you ran out of milk. Maybe the baby needs diapers. Maybe you got to pick up some cereal or dishwashing detergent, whatever it is. Just going to the grocery store. Does it bother you when you check out, sir, ma'am? Does it bother you that you're confronted with all kinds of sexual trash? Does it bother you? Does it bother you that staring at you are all kinds of bikini-clad women and sensual poses, and that some of the magazines are openly talking about sexual things? In fact, I couldn't right now on the radio in good conscience repeat a lot of the stuff that is on the headlines of these magazines that, as you're checking out, maybe you're there with your kids, 4 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old, and they look right at them, and most of them could read. Our younger daughter Megan started reading when she was 3, so there are plenty of things she didn't get exposed to in the home. The last thing I'm thinking is she's going to get exposed to them in a grocery store. First question, does it bother you? I know we've been around this for years, and I've brought this up on the show before, Supermarket Smut, and we've had some impact, but by God's grace, we're about to have a lot more impact. Does this bother you? 866-34-TRUTH. Are you oblivious to it? Does it bother you as a woman? Does it bother you as a man? Just tell me the truth. And are you willing to do something about it? You say, well, why? Why should we do something? Because we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the moral conscience of the society. We are God's prophetic messengers. We are the ones through whom a message of holiness and purity and righteousness and justice and compassion and love and goodness comes to the world through our words, through our deeds. We are called to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We are called to call the world to God in repentance. And one way we do that is by exposing sin. So first question, does it bother you? Have you become completely oblivious to it? Does it bother you? Second question, are you willing to join me in doing something about it? Now, those who've been listening regularly for some time remember that the last 2 years, we went into different stores. I live in North Carolina, in the Charlotte area. We went to different grocery stores, main chains here, Lowe's Food, Harris Teeter, Food Lion, Bilo. Went to these different stores when the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition came out, because it was just over the top in terms of sensuality and lewdness. And went into the stores and said, hey, isn't this inappropriate? Isn't this inappropriate to be sitting here at the checkout counters? And immediately got them pulled from different stores. Sometimes the manager said I was embarrassed even to put it out. Others thanked us. Sometimes it took a day or so, but Lowe's Food responded great. The manager told me if we get a complaint, we pull it. The same thing with Harris Teeter. They responded well. Food Lion responded negatively. Food Lion also is a major sponsor of gay activism in the greater Charlotte area. So I wasn't surprised that their moral tone was different. But as of late, right near our house, there's a Lowe's Food, and close to that is a Harris Teeter. To my surprise, when I went to a Lowe's Food the other day, I was just checking out, and what in the world? There's a really lewd, sensual picture. What is this? And trust me, I'm watching my eyes. I'm not looking for bad things to look at, but I wasn't expecting to see this. And there was Cosmopolitan magazine now being carried by Lowe's Food. They didn't used to carry it. Harris Teeter doesn't carry it. There are other stores that don't carry it. Cosmopolitan. I cannot repeat on the air here what some of the front cover stories talked about. Let alone, I couldn't imagine having a picture like that staring at you at a grocery store. This is anything that any family with moral sense would not take exception to. And I, a couple of times, asked for it to be removed, just politely. I don't go up some screaming, yelling way. I just said, hey, you know, this is really inappropriate. Look at this. Kids can read this and so on. And nothing has happened yet. No positive response. So I'm asking you, if you are a friend of the Line of Fire, boy, I appreciate the emails we get. I appreciate when I'm out speaking and people come up to me who've been listening to the broadcast in different states. I appreciate the kind words. I appreciate the posts talking about what the broadcast means and how it ministers. I really do appreciate that. Now I'm asking you, if we can stand together and get something done. Look, I've been involved with this. I was 19 years ago in the Maryland area. It was amazing to see how just this little issue of supermarket smut hit the news waves, it actually went national, the coverage, and this became a major topic on secular radio, and I had an incredible opportunity to speak for morality and for the gospel in front of secular audiences on radio and TV and even in my own neighborhood, talking to people who were awakened by this. I'm asking if you will join me in taking a stand. In fact, if you say, yeah, I will definitely go into a Lowe's Food, and let me say this, ladies, it's great if you can do it. Men, if you don't have an issue or problem that you're going to be tempted or defiled by looking at these things, fine. But are you willing to just walk into a store, and maybe you're whatever state you're listening into, you obviously have different stores, but if the store tries to be a family store and puts that image forth, and they have Cosmopolitan, would you be willing to walk into the store, as many of our other listeners have done, and simply can I talk to the manager? And then just go up to the manager with the magazine and say, really, this is offensive. This shouldn't be at the checkout counters. We've got kids, we've got family, or whatever it is. This really shouldn't be here, especially if this is supposed to be a family store. Just ask him to look at it, look at and read some of the headlines there, and then just let us know how they responded. Just give us a call. Here's a number you can call, 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473. That's not to get on the air now. 888-378-FIRE. Give us a call and tell us I went to the store. You just need to tell us either the store number or location, so the state you're in, the store name and location or store number, and say they responded favorably or they didn't respond favorably. If they didn't respond favorably, then you need to let us know that. If they did respond favorably, just check back to see that they took appropriate action, and then go out of your way to thank them and have some of your other friends go in and thank them. So tell you what, if you're willing to do that, just give me a call here on our regular line, 866-34-TRUTH. In the next couple of minutes, I'm not going to be focusing on this for the rest of the show, but if you are willing to do this, to go into the store and to simply ask, would they relocate the magazine to another part of the store and get it away from the checkout counters, just give me a quick call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, and just say, yeah, I'm gladly will do that. Gladly take a stand. Let me rock the boat a little bit here and make a difference. We come back. We're going to talk about what black columnist Thomas Sowell says is race card fraud. We'll get your blood boiling. Don't worry about it. The It's a day for pleading for moral sanity today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH. Are you willing to go into your grocery store, if you live in the North Carolina area, asking you in particular to go into Lowe's Food? They have said that if they get a complaint about an offensive magazine, they pull it. We have brought to their attention several times Cosmopolitan, which they've begun to sell now, which is famous for its sexually charged images and headlines and content. Are you willing to go into Lowe's Food, go to the manager, and simply ask if they would relocate that to another part of the store, that it's inappropriate for a checkout counter? And in fact, if they choose not to, there are plenty of other stores. You can go to Harris Teeter, for example, that doesn't sell those. If you work at Lowe's, are you willing to do something? Hey, this is minor. This is minor. This is not getting thrown to the lions. This is not being tortured for our faith. No one's going to throw you in prison for this. And many people will appreciate your polite request for a standard to be raised in a family grocery store. If you're willing to join us in doing this, give me a call at 866-34-TRUTH. Someone pointed out how remarkable it is on our Line of Fire blog, askdrbrown.org, the Line of Fire. They pointed out how ironic it was that if I do a talk on, say, is the Hebrew name of Jesus Yeshua or Yahshua? Of course it is Yeshua. People will pour in with their comments, and it gets passionate. I did a show a few weeks ago about dietary laws. You said, dietary laws? Who cares about that? Does it matter to God if Christians observe the dietary laws? And we got over 400 comments on the website, some of them lengthy, interacting about this passionately. But then when we talk about a moral issue, an issue of righteousness, an issue of standing for what's right in our society, I'm a little tired, a little. Yeah, it probably is a problem. Friends, we need an awakening. Okay, I promised to stir the waters today. I'm about to talk about race card fraud. I was quite surprised early on in the Line of Fire broadcast during the days of the presidential primaries a few years back that I took issue with some of the policies of then-Senator Barack Obama. And someone called in and said to me, why do you keep bringing up race? I said, what are you talking about, bringing up race? All you do is bash Obama. I said, what are you talking about? First, I had taken issue with something John McCain had said. Then I was taking issue with something Barack Obama had said. And on top of it, what had to do with race? Had to do with policies. No, why are you bringing up race? Race. I'm not bringing up race. You're bringing up race. Race is not the issue. The issues are the issues. So I gave a warning. I gave a warning. Probably on a couple of different occasions, but certainly once loud and clear. I said, I would love to see a black man in the White House. I would love to see it. But if Mr. Obama is not the right candidate, then it is going to hurt the cause more than help it. In other words, it will exacerbate racial issues in America rather than heal them. Remember, Mr. Obama is the president of the United States in terms of voting because of, talk about the majority of the vote, white people voting for him, young white people voting for him. So this is not a matter of that you had 90% of the American population, say, being African-American. They're the only ones that voted for him. No, quite the contrary. It's more the reverse. We know the vast majority of the black population voted for Mr. Obama to be president. But I gave a warning back then. If he's not the right man for the job, which I was convinced he was not, and I'm all the more convinced now he's not, then it's only going to hurt racial issues in America, not help them. So black columnist Thomas Sowell wrote an article, Race Card Fraud, and he says credit card fraud is a serious problem, but race card fraud is an even bigger problem. He says among people who voted for Barack Obama in 2008, those who are likely to be most disappointed are those who thought that they were voting for a new post-racial era. There was absolutely nothing in Obama's past to lead to any such expectation, and much to suggest the exact opposite. But the man's rhetoric and demeanor during the election campaign enabled this and many other illusions to flourish. And he says this, at the end of his article, there is not now, nor has there ever been, anything post-racial about Barack Obama, except for the people who voted for him and the mistaken belief that he shared their desire to be post-racial. When he leaves office, black columnist Thomas Sowell says, especially if it's after one term, he will leave this country more racially polarized than before. Exactly. We warned about this. Hopefully he may also leave the voters wiser, though sadder, after they learn from painful experience that you can't judge politicians by their rhetoric or ignore their past because of your hopes for the future. Voters may even wise up to race card fraud. Well said. All right. Yet another. I've been waiting to get to some of these things for a few days. Some I've waited on 3 or 4 days now, so I'm getting to vent a little bit. But under control. Under control. A gentleman called in yesterday. We didn't take the call because it was not on topic, and we're hoping he was going to call in today. It may not happen. But this is from an unnamed individual. Oh, it is. Sorry, it's Mike. You ready? We get lots of sweet emails like this. Dear Mike, I heard your discussion with Gary DeMar. As a Christian, you'd better hope Gary's eschatological interpretation is right. Otherwise, Jesus is a false prophet. How do you explain what Jesus meant when he talked about this generation and you standing here will not see death until, etc.? There's all kinds of talk in the New Testament that expected the last day to happen in an era. This is the last hour. I'm coming soon. Because this didn't happen, you have to reinterpret the clear meaning of words. Hey, Mike, can I ask you a question? Is it possible that you end up having to reinterpret a whole lot more words than I do? Such as what's supposed to happen in that last day and the elect being gathered together from one corner of the earth to the other, and us becoming like Jesus, being caught up in the air to meet him and taking on a resurrection body and a new heaven and a new earth. Perhaps you have to reinterpret a whole lot more words than I do, and I don't have to reinterpret any, by the way. And is it possible that when you have words like spoken by Haggai, just once more, it's a little while, God says, I'll shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry land, and when did that happen? At the earliest, even according to your theology, over 500 years later, and the prophet says, just once more, it's just a little while, God speaking? Perhaps you need to tone down your rhetoric a bit, Mike. But Mike continues, also your militant Zionism is disturbing to me. You call yourself a Jew. How do you know you are a Jew? Can you prove your lineage to the Israelites of Bible times? Do you believe that a Jew born here in, let's say, Austin, Texas, has a legitimate right to move to Israel and knock Palestinians off land where their family has been for generations? If so, I think you're under delusion. Do you realize that many Ashkenazi Jews today may be descendants of the Khazar tribe, right? Regardless, it's impossible for someone like you to prove your lineage back to the Middle East, which is why Zionism is absurd. Have a good day. Mike, please, please give me the pleasure of chatting with you about these things on the air. And let's talk about, in particular, your claim that a Jew from Austin, Texas, can move to Israel and knock Palestinians off land where family's been for generations. Oh, and there is a friendly P.S. from Mike. You focus on several sins, especially what you view as sexual sins. How come you never focus on the sin of gluttony? Well, Mike, I actually focus on the sins that the New Testament focuses on, number one, the sins that people constantly struggle with. But we talk about gluttony, too, because we must walk in self-control. Thanks for the sweet email, Mike. Give us a call so we can chat about what you had to say on the air. All right. Oh, still more to come. Joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire broadcast. 1 week from tonight, I should be in the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area debating a conservative rabbi, having a gracious interaction, dialogue, Jesus, Messiah, or not. Would you be praying with us? There have been some difficulties in terms of putting an ad out in the Jewish newspaper, getting it on the calendar of events, so we just need prayer that the Lord will continue to open doors for Jewish people to hear the good news about Yeshua. It was just a few minutes from this very hour yesterday when we had to evacuate the building. Electrical fire broke out. I actually called in the show by my cell phone from a parking lot across the street from our building to finish the broadcast. So we are planning on no electrical fires today and trusting we'll get through without a hitch. 866-34-TRUTH. I've just been covering a lot of issues, some stuck on stupid awards at the beginning of the show, some things grieving me, about the moral malaise of our country, some updates of interest, even a call to take a stand for righteousness and to go into your local stores, grocery stores that carry Cosmopolitan magazine, and simply ask them if they would relocate it to another part of the store because these things are morally offensive. If you're doing that, drop us a line, Dr. Brown at AskDrBrown.org, and keep us posted on what's happening as we contact them on behalf of the Coalition of Conscience. We want to be able to speak with wisdom and accuracy. Okay, I've got a bit of a shocking update about gay Tel Aviv. Not a shocker to those that know Tel Aviv, but to most of the Christian world, a shocker. First, let me grab one call commenting on the email I just read a moment ago. Marcus in Dallas, thanks so much for calling.
Hi, it's a pleasure to meet you. Pleasure to be on.
Thank you, sir.
I was just calling. I was taken aback a little bit by the email that you read, particularly because I had an opportunity to look up some of the verses you mentioned from a show last week. I can't remember how long it was on because I listened through iPod. But when they're complaining about your, bias towards Israel and dispossessing Palestine, it just seems to be clear that some verses that you quoted before in Ezekiel, I think it's 36 and 37 and 39, about basically God being in control about whether it's Israel or any nation, the leaders in those nations controlling any land, God's ultimately in control of that. That seems to be pretty clear what you said in other times. And also, I think you've been also very forthright in talking about Israel's error. It's not simply because Israel is in the land or that they're God's chosen people that they have a right to treat the Palestinians any sort of way. So I was kind of taken aback about where that writer was coming from because I listened quite a bit, and I've never heard any particular bias towards Israel. And I just wanted to comment on that, had a chance to look up some of the scriptures that you've actually quoted online.
Got it. Hey, Marcus, I appreciate that. And I'm glad you recognize that my stance is not Israel is always right or the Jews are always right, but rather God's given promises to Israel that he's going to keep. And when it does come as far as a matter of justice, in point of fact, the Israelis were perfectly happy to accept all the partitioning, and this part's for the Arabs that are living there in the land and this part's for the Jews. They accepted it, and then the five surrounding Arab nations attacked them, and there's been war ever since. So it's not a matter of Israelis going in and dispossessing poor Palestinians. It's a matter of saying, hey, we're glad to live in peace together. But even the bigger thing, God has given promises. And you're right, Marcus, if we start to play with the meaning of those passages, then who knows? I mean, who knows how to interpret the death of Jesus on the cross or the promises to the church? Maybe those can just be manipulated into some spiritual meaning as well. So appreciate that, Marcus. Hey, we are on daily 1160 a.m. in the Dallas area. So be sure to tune in and listen when you can, okay?
Okay.
Thank you for the call, man. God bless you. Okay. All right, so speaking of the fact that I absolutely do not just whitewash Israel, in fact, I'm a strong critic of sinful policies within Israel. How about this from the Jerusalem Post? Stepping up to compete with top destination cities around the world, Tel Aviv is reaching out to the international gay and lesbian community. The Tel Aviv Tourism Association on Tuesday night kicked off a six-month outreach campaign labeled Tel Aviv Gay Vibe, hoping to introduce gay communities around the world to Israel's city that never sleeps. The campaign will be geared primarily toward gays and lesbians in Germany and France, offering discounted flight and hotel packages that begin at $500 for 3 nights. Eti Gargir, CEO of the Tel Aviv Tourism Association, said the gay market, they have money to spend and they love very much the stylized life of Tel Aviv. They like the good life. She added that the city's combination of nightlife, culture, and beaches makes it a unique destination. Yariv Weissman, an advisor to Mayor Ron Holdein, a representative of the gay community in Tel Aviv, said it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Christian, just come to enjoy. He added that the Gay Vibe campaign was not intended to change the city. Rather, it was an effort to expose the international gay community to an already thriving gay scene in Tel Aviv. There's already a gay vibe, he said there. You'll discover something you don't know. It'll surprise you. And check this out. The mayor applied for his position in the mayor's office on a platform of popularizing Tel Aviv's gay community to a global audience. Israel needs awakening.
God of light, hear our cry.
Well, 1 hour has gone flying by. Thankfully, no electrical fire today, no evacuation of the building. But if you missed any part of the show, I'd really encourage you to go online, go to askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. Later today, the show will be up. You can listen to it in its entirety. If you do listen by podcast, it actually does cost us money to put everything online and to store things and to get them out by the thousands. So if you would consider a one-time gift to help us, or better still, even a small monthly contribution, skip a cup of coffee once or twice and send that in to AskDrBrown.org. That would greatly help us to reach a lot more people. That's our goal. And if you're listening on live radio in various states across America, and you're blessed by the show, you know we hardly ever bring up money, but like anything else, we have bills to pay. Not a dime goes into my pocket or my team's pocket. This is our joy to be broadcasting to you. It's just the broadcasting bills. If you'd like to see us get on more stations across America, if you believe that it would be great to see us in some of the major cities in America where we're not yet broadcasting, would you consider becoming a partner and standing with us? Go to AskDrBrown.org and click on support. If you'd like someone to call you directly and speak with you about this, give us a call at 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473. Let us know you'd like to stand with us, and we will have our staff give you a personal call and tell you exactly how you can do that. Okay, I was talking about gay Tel Aviv. Again, sometimes Christians idealize Israel. And without a question, in terms of the conflict in the Middle East, the Israelis do operate at an ethic which is at a higher level than those surrounding them who look for their destruction and long for their destruction and teach the value of martyrdom, blow yourself up and kill Israelis, even to their children. But Israelis are human beings and fallen and lost and in need of the mercy of God. By the way, most recently there's been a review of policies from Operation Cast Lead, where Israel came under international condemnation for fighting back against Hamas. And there was criticism about the number of civilian casualties. They did their absolute best to keep them low, but they're finding they've done further investigation, looking for more ways to further reduce civilian casualties in the midst of war. But the Israelis remain lost, in need of the gospel, like everyone else. And if you look at the secular Israelis, they're as lost as anybody. They are as lost as anybody. Israeli teens are as lost as any teens you'll find anywhere in the world, broadly speaking. And you've got the same promiscuity. Go to Tel Aviv. Go to the big, thriving city of Tel Aviv. You'll find the same pornography, promiscuity, drug issues, organized crime issues. You'll find these things in the city there. Why? Because Israelis, Jews, are as lost as anybody else and need the mercy of God. And then the percentage of the population that is very religious is hotly opposed to the gospel, may have high moral standards and be commendable in other ways, but hotly opposed to the gospel and doing what they can to stop the spread of the gospel among the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So I call for prayer for the Jewish people earlier in the week. I do so again today. By the way, President Obama sought to have a positive meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu last week. But according to Jerusalem Post poll, U.S. President Barack Obama's efforts to reach out to the people of Israel last week when he hosted Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for a positive meeting at the White House, gave his first interview as president to Israeli television, were not very successful. According to this poll, when asked whether they saw Obama's administration as more pro-Israel, more pro-Palestinian, or neutral, just 10% of Israeli Jews said more pro-Israel. 46% said more pro-Palestinian. 34% said neutral, and 10% did not express an opinion. We got a whole lot more to cover this week. I'm glad we got a few days left in the week. So join us tomorrow on the Line of Fire. Make sure to visit the website. Take advantage of all the free resources there at AskDrBrown.org. And take a stand for righteousness. Will you do that?